I invite you this morning to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 29. Genesis 29, and we begin our reading at verse 32. Genesis 29, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me the son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can enter into thy holy presence. Thou art holy, far more holy than we ever conceive by our imagination. Thou art absolute in thy holiness, in thy righteousness, in thy justice and truth. But we thank you that thou art also absolute in your love. And we thank you for the debt that love paid to thy holiness on our behalf. Thy holiness and justice demanded our death, for the wages of sin is death. But thy love provided divine grace. Divine grace that would suffer the death that we deserve and provide salvation for poor sinners. And we thank you this morning that we know that love and that grace and that mercy. Take the word now and speak to our hearts. Deliver us from anything frivolous or anything that would detract. And may our faith stand in the wisdom of men and or in the wisdom of God and not in the wisdom of men. For we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. And what a delight it is to have one day of the year set aside wherein we honor our mothers. This is a special blessing to us who are believers in Christ, who have had godly mothers, mothers who prayed with us, who read the Word of God to us, who taught us right from wrong, who healed our wounds with a kiss, and they were there when we really needed them. I have thought quite a bit all week about a mother from Scripture, and my mind couldn't get away from this godly woman by the name of Leah. We find the spirituality of Leah by examining the names of that she gave to her children as they were born, one after another unto her. And she becomes one of the great progenitors of the house of Israel. And at the close of the book of Ruth, we read in that short genealogy that is there of Rachel and Leah who built the house of Israel. Now Jacob had two wives and two slave wives, two servant wives that were given to his wives when he married them. They were given to these wives by the father, Laban. Now, Jacob was a schemer. Jacob was a rascal. When you read the 17th of chapter of Jeremiah, and verse 9, we read, the heart is deceitful above all things else, and desperately wicked. Now, that word deceitful there in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, could really be translated, not a heart is Jacob. For the word Jacob means a supplanter, a cheat, a rogue, a schemer. For that's what Jacob was. Jacob lived by the adage, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That was Jacob. And Jacob always saw that Jacob was well taken care of. And of course, in the course of living, Jacob schemed his brother out of his birthright. For he bought his brother's birthright with a mess of pottage. In other words, we could translate it and put it like this. He bought his brother's birthright with a bowl of soup. Now, Esau, on the other hand, he despised his birthright, but Jacob didn't. Jacob loved it. He wanted it. And he wanted it because of the spirituality that went with the birthright and the blessings that were with the birthright. But Jacob is a schemer. And then you know that he cheated his brother Esau out of the blessing. His father was going to bless him in a unique way. He was going to give to Esau the blessing that came with a birthright. But Jacob deceived his father. He dressed like his brother Esau, and he stole the blessing. And Esau, in anger, was going to kill Jacob. And Jacob runs to Padan Aram, to the compound of Laban, who became his father-in-law. It was there that he saw that, Laban had a beautiful daughter by the name of Rachel. He loved Rachel. The Word of God teaches that as we sow, we reap. You cannot sow and not reap. And the reaping is always an increase over the sowing. And Jacob is going to learn some lessons at Padan Aram. And the first lesson he learns is the one that he didn't learn at home. At home he had no respect for the firstborn. He had no respect for his brother Esau, who was a firstborn. None whatsoever. He cheated him out of his birthright. But now, Jacob is poor, he had come on his own, and he wants Rachel for his wife. So, without a dowry to give to the father, for he didn't have any sheep, he didn't have any oxen or anything else to give as a dowry, he told Laban, I'll work for you for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel for a wife. But at the end of 7 years, he said, now give me my wife. And at that time, the wife was veiled real heavily. He couldn't see her. And it was dark when they had the wedding feast. And of course, the next morning when the light came on from the light of day in the tent, he saw something. He saw that the woman that he had married was not Rachel, the pretty girl, but Leah, the one who wasn't so pretty, the older girl. He goes to his father-in-law, Laban, and he chides with him. He argues with him. And he said, "Now, it's not right in this country to give the younger one before the firstborn." Ah, he learned to respect firstborn. This was Jacob's first error. He cheated his brother out of the birthright. And the Word of God declares, as you sow, you reap. Now, when you come to this woman, Rachel, or Leah, that we're talking about this morning, this mother in Israel, she had some real hardships. Number one, the Word of God tells us that she was weak-eyed. It's a nice way of saying what I think Josephus in his Antiquities of the Jews says in a way that you and I can understand it. He said her eyes were lacking that luster which always and everywhere is looked upon as a conspicuous part of feminine beauty. And then he adds, she was of no comely countenance. In other words, Leah wasn't much to look upon. But Rachel is beautiful. Now we're talking about Leah this morning. And we're talking about Leah as a spiritual mother. Now Leah had some real hardships. Can you imagine growing up in a family where you have a very beautiful sister that is near your age and you yourself are not beautiful? Can you imagine the problem? This leads to something that psychologists call today a poor self-image. And often you meet people that have a poor self-image. If anybody had one or had a reason to have one, it would have been Leah. But then, the second real hardship that she faced was this. She was married to a man who didn't really love her. She was married to a man who was really in love with her sister because of her sister's beauty. He really loved Rachel more than Leah. Now, when it comes to this matter of beauty and self-image and everything else, I remember when I was a junior in high school, there's a girl that sat behind me. Her name was Christine. And one day, she took it upon herself, as we were talking together, to tell me and list in order the nicest looking fellows in the class. And I remember who she began with number one, because I thought it should be me. But it wasn't. It was a fellow by the name of Bill Whitmer. I'll never forget that. I won't tell you, but guess who was last? You got it. You got it. It hasn't changed much since either. So I know in a little way what it must have felt like for Leah to see Rachel getting all the attention of mother and dad. And you and I are living in an age, and sad to say, when outward beauty means far more than inward character. When my children were growing up, there were a lot of young people stayed in our home, college students. I'm thinking of two sisters in particular who attended Wheaton College. And they spent many a night in our home. One of them was far more pretty than the other. And the prettier of the two sisters was far more outgoing than the other. Now, the other girl was a very nice girl. And I remember saying to my wife these words, "Those two girls are pure gold. They had the top-notch character. They were pure gold." I said, "But you want to know something? If I were a young man and marrying either of the two, I'd go for Nancy rather than Edith. Though Edith was a pretty girl, I'd want Nancy to be the mother of my children. Nancy had something about her that Edith didn't have, although Edith was top-notch. Edith was a theologian. You could talk theology with that girl. And she was an outgoing personality. But there was an inner character and an inner beauty about Nancy that would want her to be the mother of the children." Now, in Genesis chapter 32, which we don't have time to turn to, when Jacob leaves Padan Aram in the household of Laban, when he leaves there, again she faces a hardship, for he's on the road back, and all these cattle and his wives and his 12 sons and one daughter, and he learns that Esau, his brother, is coming to meet him, and he has 400 men with him. 400 men. And the first thing that's in David's mind, or Jacob's mind, is fear. He's afraid. Oh, he's still the same old Esau. He's going to kill me. And he's afraid. So Jacob the schemer, he arranges things. And you know who he puts in the front to meet Jacob, to meet his brother? Leah and her children. She's in the front with a servant wives. Boy, I told you where you were on Jacob's totem pole. In the back was Rachel with Joseph, his beloved son. How sad. So you notice she faced some real hardships. But then second, she had a deep-rooted piety. I tell you, the lesson that Jehovah has with regard for those who are lowly and despised, the lesson that he has to teach us in this, the things that people learn through their troubles and afflictions, especially they who look to him for success. And Leah looked to the Lord for success. And Leah is far more instrumental in carrying out the plans and the purposes of Jehovah than her worldly sister Rachel was. For you remember, Rachel was the one who stole the household gods. That couldn't do her any good at all. I often wondered about her. She's the one who said to Jacob, "Give me children or I die." And you have that in the opening verses of chapter 30 that we didn't read this morning. "Give me children or I die." And it's an amazing thing. She died in childbirth when she bore Jacob the second son, and the second son was named Benjamin, and Rachel wanted to name him Benoni, the son of my sorrow. But no, Jacob said, well, I'm going to name him Benjamin. He's the son of my right hand. Now we see this spiritual woman, and blessed is the one who can rise above circumstances like Leah did. And we see her spirituality in the naming of her four sons that she bears here in Genesis chapter 29. Now the first is Reuben. The statement that she makes upon the birth of the son tells us something of what she was enduring. The Lord hath looked upon mine affliction. Now therefore will my husband love me. In other words, the name Reuben means see a son. In other words, Jacob, I've borne you a son. Oh, what a blessing it is to have a child in the home. And what a blessing it is to be a mother, to bring a child into a home. And here Leah opens her heart to Jacob, and she names her son Reuben. See, I've born a son. Take a look. He's a son. This teaches me something. She says, the Lord hath looked upon mine affliction. Now will my husband love me. She gives a credit to the Lord. Oh, what a blessing it is when we're able to credit the Lord with our blessings. Furthermore, having a child now should give her extra status and also some self-esteem. Reuben, in his later years, didn't turn out too great as a firstborn, yet that was not the fault of his mother. Leah was a godly woman, and she acknowledges the Lord in the birth of the son. Now the second son is born. His name is Simeon. Now with the birth of the second son, Simeon expresses again the Lord's concern for those who are of low estate. And I learn from the birth of the second son in verse 33. She says, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. In other words, she was a woman of prayer. She took her problem to the Lord. Oh, if I could just teach this. To be able to take our problems to the Lord and leave our problems with Him. With Him. For He has made us the way we are. You see, not everybody is going to be the last one in your class as far as looks are concerned like I was. They're not going to be the last, you see. Some are going to be first and some are going to be in between. But there's no use getting uptight about it because the 139th Psalm teaches us that God made us the way we are, with the gifts that we have, with everything else that we have about us, in order that we might be molded into His image and be used with the gifts that we have to glorify Himself. For the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. She was a woman of prayer. Now, with Simeon, she said, my husband, I was hated. That's what she says. The Lord has heard that I was hated. To the Jew, not to be loved is to be hated. And that's the way they use the term. And God uses it that way in the prophecy of Malachi. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I have loved less. And Jacob, I believe, loved Leah, but loved her far less than he loved Rachel. And therefore, Leah looked upon it as being hated. Now when you come to the third son, it's quite disappointing. In verse 34 we read, and she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. It is amazing. The Lord isn't mentioned with the birth of the third son. He's not mentioned. And I find here discouragement. Here is a woman that is discouraged because of the conditions in the home. Now the husband is mentioned. Now he'll be joined to me. But it's quite evident that things remained as they were in the home. With the birth of these first three sons, we can see the turmoil of this young mother. After all, what more would you expect where there's a multiplicity of wives in the home? Jealousy and turmoil. But beloved, we have to go a step further. For we come to the birth of Judah in verse 35. And with the birth of the fourth son, Leah recovers her spiritual optimism. She says, now will I praise the Lord. This is what she says. Here is genuine optimism. Here is someone who had been downtrodden, who comes now to the fore. Now, God, I will praise you. As the choir sang this morning, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. He's worthy to be praised, beloved. God honored that. And he honored it in a unique way. The kings of Israel sprang from Judah. Judah became the top tribe of the children of Israel. Whenever you read of the army, so many came from all the other tribes of Israel, but Judah supplied so many. God honored in a special way the tribe of Judah. Furthermore, our Lord himself came from the tribe of Judah. No wonder when this child was born, she cried out, now I praise the Lord. She's no longer fretting because her sister had monopolized Jacob's heart. No longer fretting. She no longer needed people to make her happy. And there's a multitude of mothers today in America who don't have people to make them happy. And oh, if he only knew the joy that comes from knowing Christ, and knowing the Lord, and knowing the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Having reached that high in her spiritual life, the scripture says she ceased having sons. She ceased bearing. What further need does she have of assurance? The Lord is better than 10 sons. Now will I praise the Lord, is what she said. Now I'd like to quickly sum this up. Do you realize that when you read through the scriptures, first of all, that the priests, the priesthood in Israel, and kingship in Israel sprang from sons that were born to Leah? Levi became the tribe that was joined to the Lord. He produced the priesthood and the Levites. He was the third son. Judah produced the kings of Israel. And our Lord sprang from Judah. What a privilege to be the mother who bears the outstanding children in the nation. A mother who was hated, but who came forth in great blessing. Why? Well, she wasn't like her sister who was beautiful, who stole the family gods. They couldn't do you any good. But her trust was in Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, the Redeemer of his people, the God of all grace. And her trust was in him. Now, it doesn't matter how well you do in the beginning. It's how do you end. Rachel died in childbirth and was buried along the way. Leah was buried in Machpelah. Now, in the Old Testament, where you're buried is very important. For Joseph did not want to be buried in Egypt. He wanted to be buried with his fathers in the cave of Machpelah, the only land that Abraham owned in Canaan. He wanted to be buried in Machpelah, and it was there that Jacob buried Leah. In other words, she side by side with a patriarch of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Oh, what a beautiful end for a woman whose heart is right with God. I think there's a word of caution here. You and I are living in an age when far more is put on beauty than on a right heart relationship with God. I think one of the worst things that ever takes place in America are beauty contests. One of the worst things that Christian colleges do in their advertising is always having pretty girls and handsome fellows in the advertising. There's some colleges I'd be afraid to go to today because I wouldn't fit in. I don't fit that class when you look at them according to the advertising. We make such an ado of what's on the outside, friends, but I'm asking you this morning, what's on the inside? Leah becomes outstanding in Israel. Why? Because of what's on the inside. Mother, this is a day you're honored. This is a day that you can take off and probably be taken out for dinner by your children. But I'll tell you this. Unless your children can look at you and say to you, you're a godly woman. You've told me about Christ. You've pointed me to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Unless you know Christ in a personal way, in a saving way, having bowed the knee to Him, you have nothing. Oh, what a day it would be to be like Leah and to be able to say, I will praise the Lord, for He's the center and circumference of my life. May you have a happy Mother's Day. I think we should sing a hymn in closing. Let us sing within the front cover of the book. Right inside the cover, glory to God on high, peace upon earth and joy, goodwill to man. We who God's blessing prove, His name all names above, sing now the Savior's love, too vast to scan. This is what we need to lay hold of. Brother, will you come and lead us in singing this, and let us stand as we sing the first stanza only.